Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. Our book of Romans, we're going to pick it up here in chapter 8, verse 34 in a moment. This 8th chapter is written to God's elect, that you were foreordained, that God chose you. You may not even know what to pray for sometimes, and as it stated, He will intercede in your life. Why? Because you were chosen. You were called. And certainly, if God be for you, who can be against you? It's very difficult to understand this unless you understand the first earth age, this earth age, and the one that is coming. In all three earth ages, then you have the plan of God, His plan of salvation for those that fell in the first earth age, hoping they will obtain salvation in this earth age to be able to enter into the third, which is eternal life. So he continues on. He said, hey, if you're with me, who can be against you? The answer is, God's in charge. He created all things. If He's with you, you're in good shape. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So having said that, as he would state, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. In other words, if God chooses you and He's the judge, Who's going to blame you for something? Satan will try. He is the accuser. But it won't work because God knows you. He chose you. And so just let that ride easy. If it sounds a little complicated, put it on the shelf and listen to the word. Chapter 8, verse 34, the great book of Romans. Let's go with it. It reads, who is he that commendeth them? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, a lot of people think, well, Christ is making intercession for us between us and God. Not true. He's making intercession between you and your enemies here on earth. That's what his intercession is. After all, Emmanuel is God. So therefore, you have to come to the realization that he, for his election, he knows what's happening, and he intercedes. You know something? It is very difficult for some people to realize, but if you have, while you walk this earth, an intercessor on the mercy seat at the right hand of God, you're in really good shape. You're blessed, as all of God's elect are. And let's go with the next verse, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No one. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Once you learn the truth concerning the three earth ages, and that God chooses his elect, nobody's going to leave that. Nobody's going to give that up for some man's religion, some tradition of men. You're not going to pull people that know the truth away from it. Their destiny, their purpose, their actual being. So none of those things. They can go through. How can they stand that? Because God is with them. Because God sees to it. 36. As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And where is this written? Well, it's Psalms 44, verse 22. What does it say? In 22 it says, yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise and cast us not off forever. Now, do you comprehend how it is that is just really good advice for you? When you're accounted as sheep for the slaughter, what has the shepherd just told you? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Who can be against you if I am for you? Who protects sheep? That's what I want you to grasp. The shepherd. the shepherd is not going to allow them to take advantage of the sheep. They have a purpose. They're called. They have a destiny. And certainly they may account them to be killed, but the shepherd will have a different idea. Returning then to chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can cut it. We can plow deeper than anyone else when it's too hot in the kitchen for most people. That's just the way we like it. Bring it on. We've got the truth. We know the plan of God. All three earth ages. We know what our destiny is. And that is to say, to witness against the false one, as it's written in Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke 21, verse 38, to continue. For I am persuaded, I mean, I am certain, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, that's fallen angels from on high, nor powers, any kind of powers, Satan's power, nor things present, nor things to come. None of it. Verse 39, nor height in the heavens, even where the fallen ones are, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as I forestated, when God calls one, and when they are awakened to the fact that the blinders come off of milk Christianity, which I'm not knocking it, and then I'm not judging it, but to where you see the real plan of God and Christ's actual purpose of salvation, how he accomplishes it and what your destiny is, which is what's important, then certainly no one's going to take you away from that. Paul says, I'm certain of it, and I am as well. If you teach somebody the Word of God correctly, from the Word of God, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, no one's going to take that away from them. They're going to hang on to it because their eternal life, but their love for God and what it is God would have them do, with Christ right at the right hand of God interceding against your enemies on this earth, you've got nothing to worry about other than fear itself. So shuck it. Love him. Follow him and be blessed. Chapter 9. Chapter 9 is a bit dispensational. We will go back to how Israel was formed and what it signifies. It will be dispensational as far as God's office is concerned as well, the creator of all and the God of all. So, with that having been said, it flows real nicely, no problem. Chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. This business of me telling you that God's elect were chosen, that they have a destiny, it's true. And what he's saying here, I'll kind of document it for you. Verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart for you, if you allow yourself to drift away from this before you have it anchored. Verse 3, for I could wish that myself were cursed, that means separated from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. My natural brothers, it's worth it to me. If I could convert them, I would give myself over and be accursed for the right to convert the brethren that I love. Verse 4, who are Israelites? Now stop and think. Stay with the subject. To whom pertaineth the adoption, the sonship? Who does this pertain to? And the glory and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Who are they to? Well, naturally, we know basically now that Christ has paid the price, that the promises are to everyone. But basically, it does not release those that God has chosen from their duties. That's important. Verse 5. whose are the fathers? And these this fathers here is the patriarchs, all 12 of them. All right, all 12 tribes, the fathers of all 12 tribes, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. He came from those 12 tribes. Who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. In other words, through those 12 tribes, the house of Israel, came Christ, who was a blessing to every man everywhere that would believe, that would follow. Verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken non-effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now, wait a minute, brother, what does that mean? Well, let's take a case. It's talking about the 12 patriarchs. That's where, when Israel was called Israel from Jacob. Abraham was never called Israel. That is to say, in his travels, he was an Adamic man, and the promise was made to him. Verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so it is. In other words, this is dispensational, as I told you. God's on the throne. He makes the choice. And certainly in Isaac is that thread which comes down through which Christ would be. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise and counted for the seed. Like in Genesis 21:7, that promise made, and so it was. Verse 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, what was that promise? Well, Sarah was 90 years old. She was past the age of childbearing. Abraham was 100 years old. He was certainly past the age of propagating children. But he believed God. See, with God, all things, with man, many things are impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also did conceive by one, even by our father Isaac. Verse 11, the children, they were twins, there were two of them, being not yet born, they're still in the mother's womb, neither having done any good or evil, in the flesh that is, that the purpose of God according to election, I'll repeat, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. He's in charge. He does the calling. And here he's talking about, so that you know this is dispensational, he's talking about two little embryos in a womb that have not even taken their first breath on their own yet, have not in the flesh bodies done any good or evil, but what about the first earth age? You see, this is where many people fall short. They don't understand that. And that's what God wants you to see, the dispensationalism within this. Listen carefully. Verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Verse 13, and as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Can you imagine that? While they're still in the mother's womb, God hates that little old boy called Esau. He hasn't breathed a breath yet. Why would God do? Well, naturally, if you didn't understand the first earth age, you could not understand that. You would be blind as far as the truth is concerned. But what was Esau's main fault? He didn't respect his Redeemer, kinsman redeemer. Kinship meant nothing to him. All he thought about was self. And naturally, the same soul that was in this babe was also in the first earth age, and God knew him quite well. It stated there that it was written somewhere. Well, then where is it written? Last book of the Old Testament. He didn't want you to miss it. You're not going to have it. I'm going to read it to you. The burden of the word. Malachi means my messenger. And Elijah was always his messenger. Listen to it. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob? And I hated Esau. And I laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness, the Jekylls. In other words, I promised in Genesis chapter 27 that he would live, I know it's not translated this way, but the manuscripts are, away from the fat of the land, and therefore Edom is above our furthest parallel to the north. Meaning, they don't produce like we do. We're talking about Rush. Verse 4. Whereas Edom, and that is Russia, saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places, thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. It's communism. They don't care anything about God. Drive him out. Doesn't belong here. And God certainly feels he doesn't belong there. Now, there are exceptions to every rule, and there are, you know, people that are Christian under those conditions of communism and socialism are Christians indeed, because they pay an awesome price to live the life of a Christian with persecution and heaven, our own Heavenly Father only knows what else. They consider it well worth the trip to be called Christian. But the nation itself, they don't want. And here we allow this tripe to mix into our own nation that was built one nation under God. We allow a bunch of hypocrites to disallow the name of God in our schools where our children are educated about this great nation under God and the freedoms we have here. It is ripped away from them. And Christians don't often make a stand, but we stand. And stand we do. That you will never remove the name of God from this nation and this people. And let's go with the next verse back in chapter 9. And it reads, verse 14, concerning these two little old boys still in the womb. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. In other words, if you think God is ever unrighteous, then you're not understanding the Word of God. You're not understanding our Father. Our Father had every reason to hate Esau while he was still in the womb, because where do you think Esau's soul came from other than from God in the first earth age? And God knows what he's doing. We're each born into what we deserve, and we all have the freedom to work out of it through Christ to be successful, to be overcomers. 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. This is, God says, I've got a plan. This plan is going to pull off and come off exactly as I have it planned. And he made that very clear with Moses. Verse 16. So then, it is not of him that willeth, that wishes, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It is our Heavenly Father that's on the throne, that's in charge. And many would say, well, that makes me a little nervous. When Christ is sitting there as your ambassador, as your intercessor, and in growing from him, you're supposed to be able to intercede also in people's lives by sharing what God has given you. A little smile, a little congratulations, you finally believe, a little uplift to intercede in some troubled person's life. God certainly is not unrighteous, but God's plan will come to pass as it is written. Verse 17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. In other words, God formed Pharaoh, brought him forth, put him in charge, manipulated him. How? Verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And poor old Pharaoh was, there's one, I want to be rid of them. And God hardened his heart. Interceded for a purpose. He's on the throne. He knows what he's doing. Within this hardening of Pharaoh's heart and bringing these things to pass, he was able to execute basically all the things except one, the fourth, that will happen in the seven vials in the book of Revelation, so that we, as students of God's word, would know what would befall us in the end times. It was God's purpose to educate us, not leaving us wanting for how things will go down. Verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Verse 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Do you want to argue with him? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me this way? In other words, this is having a play upon the potter and he making vessels. That he formed these clay bodies. He knows what they are. He formed us, and some of us have a purpose. All have a purpose in Christ if you believe upon him. You have that salvation. But certainly the pot that the potter is formed, you don't turn around and say to the potter, I don't like what you've done to me. He might pick you up and crash you against the wall. You don't talk back to the potter. Verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? This is the same lump of clay that was translated blood in the book of Acts that really throws a lot of people off that all were created of the same blood, which is a lie. They're not. But of the clay, yes. What did it say here? It said, and I'll put it right down where the rubber meets the road, if God so chooses, he can take the same lump of clay and form a flower pot that's beautiful. Or he can form a chamber pot. Has a purpose. God can do whatever he wishes to with people. And many are going to say, well, that sounds very unfair to me. No. From what happened in the first earth age, he will not offend anyone that is not in his well in his hand, and well has to do with the plan of God overall. It has a purpose. And naturally, understanding comes with understanding his purpose. Because it's not your purpose and your will that's going to be done. It's God's purpose and God's will, and he's written you a letter telling you exactly what that is. And he's telling you here, I can make anything I wish to put anyone in any position. And some might say, well, is he unfair? No, he's not a respecter of persons. Just as Esau earned what he had coming, Jacob earned what he had coming. God is totally fair. But he is so fair that through Christ, he gives everyone the privilege and the opportunity to work themselves up, out, and free. Next verse, please. Verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering, and he's got lots of patience, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. That's one of Satan's names, the destroyer. And so it is, Apollyon in the Greek, Satan's name, 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore. Don't overlook that word. Afore means to fit up in advance, prepared unto glory. Because they earned it. God is always fair. Anytime you think he is unfair, you're misunderstanding the word. But it is those vessels of glory that God, that love the truth enough that truth is going to go forward out to the whole world. They will have had an opportunity to see it and hear it. What they do with it is their own business. It's their own clay pot that's going to decide for their own being. But God himself is the intercessor, and he is the one that truly does love us, stands with us, follows us, and protects us. Why? We're the sheep. He's the shepherd. Verse 24. Even us whom he hath called, that means chosen, not of the Jews, that's Israel only, but also of the Gentiles. He chooses both. And so it is that God, through his choosing and having fit beforehand, having called, predestined, as back in chapter 8, a lot of people cannot understand predestination because they don't understand there was an earth age before this. That's why I told you this chapter is dispensational. And certainly very being is to make right the riches of glory on the vessels of mercy. They've earned what they have coming. But do they take that to set themselves aside and be well off? No, they take that to share that truth where it may affect and touch many others. The first earth age, this age, and the one that's coming. That opens and unlocks. That's the key of David that unlocks doors that nobody can close, and it closes doors that nobody can open against you. It was aforetime. I mean, it was fit up in advance by God. Everything God does, he knows exactly where it's going, and I'm talking about his plan now. And people, you've got free will. You can do whatever you choose, and your payment will be adjusted accordingly. Let's go with another verse, verse 25. As he saith also in Hosea, that's Hosea meaning salvation, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And here we have that great book, which Hosea, meaning salvation, which means in the minor prophets, the way to salvation. He told Hosea to go marry a harlot. And these children were given names, as just having mentioned. Not my people is Lo-Ami, which in the Hebrew tongue means not my people. And he gave them one of the children's name, Lo-Ruhamah. And Lo-Ruhamah means not loved, not beloved. I mean, when he divorced Israel and put her away, then because she practiced idolatry, she didn't love God, She loved everything but God. And God put her aside until he got her shaken up a little bit. But then what he's saying here, his plan ultimately, as it is written in the great book of Hosea, Lo Ammi soon is called Ammi. That means changed from not my people to my people. And Lo Ruhamah, her name changed to Ruhamah, which means my beloved or one that is loved. Because God does love his children. When they do what? When they follow his way and when they follow his will. That's what the whole book of Hosea is about. Is bringing that salvation forth. When the woman, Homer, representing Mother Israel, did everything wrong, basically. But God still saved her. He still brought her children, her offspring, back in, giving them an opportunity to find that Hosea, which comes Yeshua. That's Christ's name in Hebrew. The Savior, salvation, with God now interceding through the Son, that any people that want to be Ami rather than Lo Ami, meaning my people, not my people, you have that right by simply loving him, reading this letter, and understanding why he does things. That's very important. We'll pick this up in the next lecture. Salvation is a beautiful thing. That's what he's talking about here now, is that the book of Hosea brings that forth. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The book of Ezekiel. What a fantastic study, this book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel that covers, if you would, those vehicles, those circular discs. In the Hebrew, it states very clearly that that whirlwind with the color amber traced back to the Hebrew, highly polished bronze. What an exciting thing that God's Word informs us on all things. Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, probably more written, not probably, but absolutely more written on what will happen in the millennium age than even the book of Revelation. Ezekiel guiding you through it, what God will expect at the final battle, Armageddon and Haman Gog, recorded in this great prophecy. I know you're going to enjoy it. The book of Ezekiel.
And there we are, back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We're not going to judge people. You know why? You don't have to. The potter will do the judging. He knows which pot should come through and which shouldn't. All right? He knows what pots have done. He knows what people have done. He knows who loves him and who does not. He knows who puts on shows and who does not. The main thing is to serve him by his word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. That always makes him so happy. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, got a prayer request? You don't need the number or an address. Why, God knows what you're thinking wherever you are around this world. All you have to do is let him know you love him. That's what he wants most from you. That's why he created you, for his pleasure. Let him know you love him. Won't you do that? Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. Irene from California. My granddaughter and I used to go to one of those false teaching churches. And she and I left the church and started to study with the chapel. Now she has gone back to this false church and no longer studies with me. Father's word says we are not to pray for someone who is in a false church. Well, not to support a false church. You can pray for someone in one as long as they don't try to drag you into it. okay? I'm not concerned about my granddaughter. I am concerned about my granddaughter. How can I pray for her? Please let me know. I'm fearful for her. She's been taught, don't worry, she will raise a child in the way of the Lord and they'll not soon depart. You can't break them away from the real truth when things begin to happen. So you just continue to hold fast. Don't be pushy. Study the word. And you can certainly pray for your own granddaughter. Nothing wrong with that. As it is written in the second epistle of John, that we're not to support something that is a doctrine other than Christ's doctrine. So in praying for your granddaughter, you're not supporting that work. Okay, this would be Vanessa from Michigan. How does a person realize their calling? How do you know what God is calling you to do? Is it everyone's call to speak the gospel? No, not at all. The main calling in this generation of the fig tree you'll read in Mark 13. That is to say, when the false Messiah appears, you're supposed to stay away from him. You're supposed to, if necessary, witness against him by the Holy Spirit speaking through you. That's your destiny. That's your purpose. Read Mark chapter 13 real carefully and prayerfully, and you'll find many's destiny there. That time is approaching. We're in that parable of the fig tree. Pastor Murray, this is Holly from Arizona. What happens when children often do not obey and believe in God anymore? P.S., I am 8 years old. Well, Holly, it's real sad when some do, but the thing is you keep holding the line yourself, believing and loving him. Don't be pushy to them. Just believe yourself, and your disposition and very countenance reflecting Christ. By that I mean doing what's right. It makes others draw to that, and they will follow. You're right on target. We love you, and you keep studying God's word and believing, all right? This would be Tasha from Alabama. I am 10 years old. We have a lot of young people. That's good. That's real good. Me and my mom have been watching your program, and I want to know, where in the Bible does it say there is going to be 7,000 people who believe the false Christ is coming first, then the real Christ is coming next? Thank you for your teaching. You make me like reading the Bible. Well, God bless you, Tasha. That's wonderful. God's word is alive, it's vivacious, and it's good. You're going to find, when we get to chapter 11 in this book of Romans, that's where he quotes what he said to Elijah. I have set aside 7,000 that will not bow a knee to Baal. That's his election. But know this, 7 simply in biblical language means spiritual completeness. So then Paul's mission as well, this one we're studying now, was to the Gentile and to the kings and queens of what? The ethnos. So there are many among the ethnic peoples that are also called and chosen. God loves all of his children. Brandon from, where is Brandon from? Brandon, California. The tribulation was shortened from 7 years to 5 months. Satan's time here on earth is the whole 5 months. 2.5 months into the tribulation, Satan takes over control and is Antichrist de facto and rules the world. And at this time, he makes war with the saints. The two witnesses' time is 1260 days, 11:3, which is approximately 3.5 years, which is half the original 7 year time, meaning the two witnesses don't appear until the midst of the tribulation. Do I have this? You're probably pretty correct, except for one thing. When Satan's 42 months were shortened, so were the time of the two witnesses. If you reckon the difference in a 30-day solar month in a month by the moon is only 28 days, then you see that the witnesses would be here 5 or 6 days before the false Christ appears. God's always good to his elect. He will provide us with leadership before time is before it's necessary. Okay, but this would be Cotton from Tennessee. Thank you for your welcome. Revelation chapter 7, verse 11. Is this beast a living animal in a spiritual body? No. Satan was created and raised to the official position of protecting the mercy seat. When he fell, God created four living creatures. They are called the Zoi or the Zun. It's according to which language you're reading, Old or New Testament. These four living beings protect the mercy seat. They're good. And they, unfortunately, they have not the ability to have free will. Satan had free will, he fell. The Zoi protect that seat, and they do not have free will to take on pride or anything else. They are cherub, K-R-B, in about any language you want to put it, which means to keep, to grasp, to grab, to guard. Even in English, you see all these words come forth from that. They're good beings created by God for that purpose. Soon after, you will not hear of them anymore, for they will have served their purpose in the book of Revelation. Tanya from Tennessee, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Please explain about this in saying heaven shall pass away. Well, what does it really say? This heaven age will pass away. This earth age will pass away. Okay? A new earth age and a new heaven age will come in. It's the same old heaven, the same old earth. Maybe I shouldn't say old heaven. Well, it is pretty old. Wherever God is, that's where heaven is. But it means time, not a different location, not a different place. This earth is not going to disappear, nor is heaven going to disappear, but times will change. And that time specifically takes place at the seventh trump. And then at the end of the Lord's Day. My name is Dion from Florida. Question, my husband was watching another pastor on TV recently, and he said Jesus would come to earth three times. He's already been here once, so he will return again to get some of his people and leave and come back again for the third time with his people. Is this true? No, it is not. We've had the Holy Spirit with us all the time. Okay. But when Christ does not return to this earth until the last trump, now probably this preacher is thinking in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 that's the second trip. No, that's the last trump. That's the last trip. He's coming that time to stay. Okay. And he's staying and he's coming, and he expects his elect to stand against the false one just as he will. Okay? So you have to keep things in their perspective. First off, if we were to say that Christ is returning and taking out all his people, who does he think is going to stand against the Antichrist? It's God's elect. They must stay right here, and they must stand against the false Christ. That is the Antichrist tribulation, number one. There is a second tribulation. It's God's tribulation. We don't have to worry about it. God's not angry at us. But he sure is a lot of other people, and they will have something to worry about when Christ returns and that second tribulation hits. Unfortunately, what will that teaching get you that he's coming and gathering out his little ones? When the Antichrist comes, that's his message. He's coming to gather people out and take them away. He's going to train them. And people are going to think the false one, if it isn't taught to them, is the true Christ. And they're going to worship Satan. That's a sad state of affairs, and I it really hurts me to see and know that's going to come to pass, and I certainly don't get any pleasure from it. That's the reason I've dedicated my life to teaching. Don't be deceived by the false one. Stay and wait for the true Christ. We have work to do. Rod from Michigan, could you please explain to me the reason why you say a sin committed in ignorance is not a sin? Isn't it a sin to not know our Father's word? Well, what I'm saying is a sin committed in ignorance is forgivable. This usually falls in reference to the unpardonable sin. And I say this because many people do sins when they're young and don't know any better. And they can repent and it is forgiven. Their ignorance excludes them. Isn't it a sin not to know the Father's word? I think it is. I've been studying with you for a very long time and I know you are the best teacher. Well, thank you. We work at it and we keep trying. We keep learning. But a sin committed in ignorance is forgivable, okay? But you've got to repent for it once you know better. David from Washington, I have one question. How many years have you been teaching? I know about how old you are, approximately. Both you and my father were in World War II. Thank you with God's prayer. Well, you're so welcome. I've been teaching probably for about 60 years, and I've enjoyed every year of it, and I love, and I served on Saipan at the close of World War II, and then later at the Chosun Reservoir with the Marine Corps up in North Korea, and soon after began teaching after returning to the States. This would be Gwendolyn from Georgia. Pastor Murray, will you explain Ecclesiastes 1:18? For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. I am so blessed to have your Bible study in my home each day. Well, thank you. Well, understand what kind of wisdom. First of all, know that the book of Ecclesiastes is written to the man that walks under the sun, which means in flesh bodies. It's to tell us how to be happy in our flesh bodies. And what this wisdom it's talking about in verse 18 is a selfish wisdom of knowing how to get ahead in this world selfishly. Okay. And when you selfishly outdo your brother here and your sister there and other people everywhere else, that brings nothing but grief. If you want to get ahead, you do it the right way with our Heavenly Father's blessings, of course. That's what it's leading up to. David from Michigan. Will we eat at the celebration at the end times? Will we be in bodily form? Well, of course we will be in bodily form. Our real body. Our real body is a spiritual body. It was the body God created you in. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 35. You've got two bodies. You got this flesh body, and you got your real body, the spiritual body, which is eternal if you love Him. And what kind of food did the children eat in the wilderness for 40 years? Manna from heaven. Well, pray tell me, what is manna? Well, the word manna means, what's that? That's exactly what it means in English. It was manna that fell from heaven that God fed them angels' food. In other words, manna that fell from heaven that sustained these flesh bodies was the food angels partake of in heaven. So maybe I think that will answer your question. Eleanor from Texas. Pastor, how do you honor a parent that has been abusive in the past? Do I have to still associate with them? And if they are not sorry for what they have done? Well, it is not, you know, you cannot, a wise person never judges unless they know all the facts, okay? So, but I must say this. The first longevity promise in God's word is to honor your mother and father. We can honor them because we've got you, Eleanor. We got you with us, a sister in the Lord. And it was they that brought you to us from our Father. And we honor them for that. Now, when it comes to social living with them, if they truly are abusing you, I recommend that you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 6, okay? And see if that would not help you. Virginia, please tell me, what is your lapel pin? My lapel pin is the American flag crossed with the United States Marine Corps flag. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Okay? This would be Moral from Florida. I really enjoy your thank you for your comment. Recently I heard you say that every person has a right to vote. I disagree. I believe that a person who refuses to serve in the military and defend this country has no right to vote or hold a public office. What is your opinion? I'm 85 years old and I would serve in the military if called upon. Well, salute. More power to you. That's great. It is. I tend to believe the same way you do, but probably what you heard me saying is that, you know, we're not a democracy. We're a republic. A democracy, the rulers rule. That's why we're not a democracy. We're a republic. And in a republic, every citizen, this is what makes the difference, every citizen has a right to vote. In good standing, yes. Whether they be in good standing for refusing to serve, I would question that also, because we have a fantastic nation. But that's why we are a republic. When you hear someone begin telling you about our government and they call it a democracy, they really do not know where they're coming from, because we are a republic. This is why it is illegal for anyone that is not a citizen to vote. Basically, no, Elizabeth from California, question, when you don't have the money to help people, how do you help them? Well, you can pray for them. You know, and if you have time, have you ever thought about nursing homes, just going down and visiting with the senior citizens there and giving them a word, a scripture, maybe? Or to assist some person there that might need a helping hand a little bit. Money does not bring happiness to yourself or anyone else. It is necessary, of course, but at the same time, there are things that make people a lot happier than money. Okay. Barbara from Washington, question, what I don't understand is, once the false Messiah returns before the true Messiah, does he come back again after Armageddon and Gog? Because it says we will be able to see him in the abyss after Christ returns, and he will be loosed a short season. I don't understand the chronology. Well, you've got it down pretty well. But maybe what would help you is the 19th chapter of Revelation. At the before the millennium begins, he is stripped of his office as Antichrist and the world beast system. They go into the lake of fire before the millennium even starts. Meaning what? When Satan is released a short season at the end of the millennium, he will not have a one world political system, nor will he be coming as Antichrist. He will be coming as himself, the devil in person, at the end of the millennium. That is the final go, all right? Kurt from Kansas. Pastor Murray, thank you for trying to teach an old, uneducated farm boy the truth. Well, thank you. Farm boys have got a lot of knowledge from natural. You have taught me that the word air means spirit or spiritual bodies in Thessalonians 4:17. My question is, what does the word cloud mean, and is it the same as the word cloud in Revelation 1:10 and 14? No, because you have two different teachers. In 1 Thessalonians, you've got Paul teaching, And Paul spoke colloquial Greek. And in colloquial Greek, we would call it street Greek or common Greek. Okay. So the word cloud there means, I want you to make a note of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Same author, Paul, God using him, of course. It is God's word, but it is Paul doing the talking. And he says, let this great cloud of witnesses prepare themselves to run this foot race in the Olympics, meaning the close of this century. You're to gather. There's a crowd like a cloud of locusts, a cloud of that, meaning many, many people will be converted at that time. And thank God for it. We're out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Makes His day when you study His Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Understanding His dispensations of time, His purpose, and His will. Not ours, His. It makes his day when you let Him know that. Let Him know you love Him. Won't you do that? We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, listen to me. Listen good. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word.